Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hi, I'm Beda Hill, and this is the D-Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another D-Word podcast. Now, we often take our ears for granted, and when we begin to notice hearing loss, it can be a sign of normal ageing, but it can also be a risk factor when it comes to developing dementia. A recent report in The Lancet suggested people with untreated hearing loss are 42% more likely to develop dementia. My guest this week is audiologist Rob Ormerod from Bayfields Opticians. Well, Rob, it's great to have you here as my guest on the D Word. Going to be talking about links between hearing loss and dementia. Before we get into doing all that, just tell us a little about yourself and what you do there at Bayfields, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. It's at Bayfields, yeah. And thanks for having me on. Yeah, so I'm currently the audiology director here at Bayfields. I've been in the audiology profession for 18 years now. I was a practicing audiologist for a number of years before doing lots of different roles for different companies. But yeah, I now work for Bayfields opticians and audiologists, where we do hearing tests and other hearing services based within our joint audiology and optical practices nationwide.
So we're going to be talking about, there are numerous studies that have been done with regards to the links between hearing loss and dementia. There was one that was published in The Lancet, came out a little bit earlier on this year, that suggested that you're 42% higher risk of dementia should you be having some form of major hearing loss. To me, that was, that's quite a surprising figure. 42% is a big figure.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And it was a decade-long study. It's something that's been talked about for a long time, and it was published in the Lancet Public Health Journal. Yeah, and as you said, finding that people with hearing loss, not using hearing aids, I think, is the key part. 42%, yeah, high risk of dementia compared to those with normal hearing. And interestingly as well, there was no increased risk in people who used hearing aids. I think it's worth saying that research is still ongoing, but it definitely highlights the extreme impact that hearing loss can have on our cognition. It's common to suffer from hearing loss, some level of hearing loss, as we age, really, and many of us are suffering in silence with moderate to severe loss. But it can, as the study shows, have a big impact on the long term, not only dementia, but it also has many other detrimental effects as well.
And, the $64,000 question, I guess, Rob, we'll get it over with now, is, do we know why that's the case?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear in terms of the links. I think, multiple studies have actually shown that individuals with untreated hearing loss are more likely to experience cognitive decline because hearing loss has increases the cognitive load on the brain is the first major factor. Individuals with hearing impairments expend more mental effort to understand speech and process general auditory information. And it's thought this increased cognitive load leads to mental fatigue, and that contributes to cognitive decline over time. I think the second big factor, though, which is something anyone who's worked in audiology practice can relate to, is that hearing loss leads to social isolation and withdrawal from social activities. What happens is with your hearing, as it decreases over time, you tend to be able to hear the background noise as well as you ever have been able to. And the problem then is the background noise drowns out some of those speech sounds that you're probably not hearing very well anyway in a quiet environment, but in a noisy environment, it can be almost impossible to hear. And anyone with hearing loss will tell that. Most people, when we talk about it, can relate to it because they know other people that have had that. If that's happening to you, though, it's really easy to then withdraw from those social situations. First of all, in the situation itself, you tend not to get as involved. But then ultimately, it's too hard work and you end up stopping going to those situations. And we know that social engagement and communication are really important for cognitive health. So to reduce that social interaction, to give yourself less stimulus due to hearing loss, that's why it's such a contributing factor to the development of dementia.
So we're looking really at two areas, aren't we? We're looking at the kind of physiological area, if you like, and then looking at this whole social element, which can cause you problems. I mean, you know, that our hearing goes as we get older. Yeah, that's a given. But in terms of going through that process, I mean, when should you start to think, wait a minute, this is a bit more than, you know, just normal aging?
Yeah, and it's interesting hearing, isn't it? Because first of all, there's no screening program. So a lot of people will get to, 72 to, even older. And the last time I had the hearing tested was when they were a child, maybe at school or maybe even when they were born. So we just don't get our hearing tested as a routine. And then when we do come to get it tested, we often don't know what to do. So if you have a problem with your eyesight, you know what to do, don't you? You go to an optician's, you get your eyes tested. One of the challenges is people just don't know what to do with their hearing. And so hearing loss happens gradually over time. And because you only lose certain frequencies, it's quite difficult to pick up yourself. And a lot of the time, it's actually other people who pick up on it first and tell you to go and get a hearing test. But then people don't know what to do. So they'll often go to their GP. The GP can potentially refer on to an audiologist within the NHS, or you can go to any number of providers of just audiology, normally based within optical practices. But those statistics actually are quite stunning. So it's one in six adults in the UK has a treatable hearing loss. That's 12 million people. Because of our aging demographic, I'm sure something you cover a lot on the show, that will go up to one in five by 2035. And that will be 15.6 million people. And it's around 70% of people with over the age of 70 that have hearing difficulties.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word podcast with my guest, audiologist Rob Ormerod. You know, there are 12 modifiable risk factors in preventing dementia, of which hearing loss is one. A lot of the others, you know, it's interesting what you were saying in terms of things like heart health, etc. We're pretty well versed at dealing with that. We go to the doctor, take your blood pressure. You know, we have various other things checked. Why do you think it is with, you know, and as you say, with eyesight, we're going to get our eyes checked, but it never seemed to have been the case that people think of hearing the same way, which is kind of strange, I suppose.
Yeah, I think one of the driving factors is that it's more obvious when your eyesight deteriorates because you literally can't see the words in front of you. But with audiology, because you lose mainly the high frequency consonant sounds first, they give you the sharpness of speech, and therefore it doesn't feel like the volume's gone down. Because if the volumes went down significantly, you'd really notice that. The problem is you lose the clarity and the sharpness. It feels like people are mumbling, and people wait on average 10 years between noticing they have a real hearing problem and doing something about it. And that's an average. So you can imagine the extreme lengths of time that people leave it. And then often it can be really difficult to, you know, do anything about it because your hearing gets so bad that you hearing aids are then, you know, potentially really, really loud. So I think that there would definitely be a screening program would make a big difference to this. You know, it's just a routine thing that people have. That would make a big, big difference. And I think traditionally as well, there is an element of stigma. I think because a lot of people, more people are born with eyesight problems than they are with hearing problems. We always compare to eyesight because of the synergies. Whereas with audiology, it can have a bit of a stigma that there's an age thing attached to it, which obviously shouldn't be the case. And also around, you know, I think old-fashioned hearing aids. And actually, interesting, one of the challenges we have now with hearing aids, I mean, hearing aids now are really cool. I mean, I would say that because I'm, you know, an audiologist, but they are now genuinely cool. You know, you can get them in all different colours if you like. Most people just tend to stick to ones that are cosmetically invisible or hidden. But they also connect to, you know, your phone, your telephone, your TV. So you get live streaming, you get live music through them. You can even get things like translate programs through them as well, where, you know, you can imagine how cool that is. So hearing aids are much, much better than they ever have been. One of the actual challenges now, interestingly, is hearing aids are so invisible that you don't see people around wearing hearing aids anymore because you don't notice them. And therefore, I think still people's, you know, in their head, what they think of a hearing aid is a traditional, you know, large behind the ear hearing aid with quite a thick tube that comes down. And although, you know, some people do need those, few and far between now, actually, because the technology is better. So they're much more discreet. They're definitely cool. They do a lot of really, really cool things. It definitely shouldn't be something that's holding people back.
I love that. Hearing aids are cool. I think we'll adopt that one. I think it is interesting. I mean, you know, my view probably a few years ago was in terms of hearing aids, it would be some sort of big clunky thing that's attached to the side of your head. Do you also feel, I mean, you know, you're opticians and audiologists now. A few years ago, we used to go to the opticians to get an eye test, and it's become more and more now that those two senses are being joined together, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, and I think that's at Bayfields we're really proud of that although there isn't an official national screening program, we do offer hearing checks to all of our clients who are in for their eye exams. And obviously we do it the other way around as well, and we do free hearing checks for them, a 15-minute screening where we look into their ears, ask them a few questions looking for obvious things like tinnitus, for instance. And when we look into these, we can often find wax or potentially something, you know, referable condition like a middle ear infection. So it's really worthwhile having. And then we just do a quick screening appointment and we can tell people, the vast majority of people, yeah, your hearing's fine. You know, come back in 2 years or even 3 years for a hearing check. And to be able to offer that service, we feel as a company is really important because we're really helping people with their healthcare needs and helping them to get help if they need it.
You think, you know, in terms of audiology, need to get that message out a little bit more in terms of dementia links. There was an advert that the British Heart Foundation, I think, had on probably about 6 months ago, where they equated poor circulatory health to the possible links with dementia. I mean, if you mention it to people, do they actually know this, or do they, you know, does it come as a big surprise? This might be a factor that would lead to dementia.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a big surprise. It's not something that people take into consideration. But I think certainly with the isolation element that we talked about that was pulled out in the research, it really makes sense. And when you start to explain that, the reaction is normally, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Of course, if you reduce the stimulus that's coming into people's brains, the complex stimulus as well, yeah, it definitely doesn't help, does it? You could see why that would be. So although people don't know it, when they find it out, it does make sense.
Prevention is better than cure. There are a lot of things that, you know, people are quite rightly pointed out to do in terms of diet, etc. I mean, what's, you know, what's the score in terms of preventive medicine to make sure that you don't suffer extreme hearing loss?
Exactly. And there's no medicine that we know of, no supplements that have really been proven to help with preventing hearing loss. But as you said, with dementia and lifestyle is very important for hearing as well. Adequate blood flow, really important to the functioning of the ears. So heart healthy diet and active lifestyle is the first thing you can do to help retain your hearing over the years. Again, no surprises. It just helps everything, doesn't it? Prevention, yeah, as you say, prevention is better than cure, really, and protecting your actual hearing is really key. So limiting exposure to loud noises, wearing ear protection wherever, avoiding excessive uses of headphones or earbuds at high volume in particular, are all everyday practices we can do to help keep our hearing as good as it can be as we get older. Even exposure to very loud noise, even for a very short period of time, can have serious effects. It can also cause things like tinnitus. We definitely say just seeking support early on is absolutely key. You know, having someone look into your ears, giving you some advice, putting on your radar, I think is a really, really healthy way of keeping it at the front of your mind. But then also picking up things like built up for wax or something more long term, or even potentially more serious, that if we can find it, we can potentially deal with it. And it means that it stops it causing any problems before it begins. And then also the other thing we'd always talk about is hearing aids. The sooner you get hearing aids on your ears, the easier they are to get used to. Your people around you will certainly thank you for it. And as we said, just again, that link, you know, the more stimulus you can get for a longer period of time, much more likely to keep that stimulus going, and much less likely for people to withdraw if they get hearing aids early on, can really get used to them and just learn to have them as part of their everyday life. So those are the big things.
With the goal of hearing aids, as we'll call them, I mean, how has technology advanced as well, not only in terms of look and size, but actually, you know, how good they really are now?
Yeah, so, I mean, overall sound quality improves. The speed of the microprocessors makes a big difference, because the longer it takes to process the sound coming through, the more unnatural it sounds. So that revolution that we've had in computer chip technology, with the exponential growth in the power of those chips, has massively, massively helped for general sound. But the other big thing that hearing aids are much, much better at is reducing background noise. And I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, but you know, Microsoft Teams for video calls, mobile phones, the noise reduction on those devices is far, far better than ever has been. And most of that technology, if not all of it, originated in hearing aids. There's a lot of research and development fund goes into that area, because that's an area where people will really struggle to hear. You think, you know, restaurants, cafes, bars, pubs, those types of places, that's where it's most important. So the ability to reduce background noise and to focus on the people that you are wanting to hear is where hearing aid technology has come on leaps and bounds. They're much better at getting rid of background noise, much better at focusing in on the sounds that you need to hear. And as I said, the other thing is the connectivity. You know, unlike glasses, which are not as cool as hearing aids, as we've established earlier on, they are non-electronic, which makes them very boring. So hearing aids have that benefit of connectivity. So they're all Bluetooth. Vast majority of them are Bluetooth connected. So you can connect them direct to your phone. You keep your phone in your pocket. You can have your conversation through your hearing aids. And not only is it applying rectifying your hearing loss, you're also getting it direct in both ears. So that type of technology has really, really helped people to embrace them. The vast majority of hearing aids we do now are also rechargeable. So no fiddly batteries to change. You know, you put them in the morning, keep them in until you go to bed at night, mostly take them out, put them in the charger, and they're ready to go the next day. So that type of technology really helps. A lot of hearing aids are completely waterproof now as well. You can actually swim in them. So you can see that we've got a mixture of dealing with your hearing problems and making them more usable in everyday life.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word Podcast, and this week we're talking about the links between hearing loss and dementia with my guest, audiologist Rob Ormerod. In terms of, you know, we talked a bit about technology and how technology has brought things on leaps and bounds. On the other side of the coin, in terms of technology, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. I mean, you know, you see people walking about with earbuds instead of enclosed headphones, you know, me being an old radio man with the old enclosed headphones. I mean, how do you get it across to people? What's the right volume that you should be listening to?
Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult, isn't it? It's a difficult situation. And whereas I think even when I was first practicing, a lot of people had noise-induced hearing loss from work. And because of health and safety regulations, that has definitely made a difference. So that message has got across largely through regulation. I think, you know, you get volume limiters, don't you? Warnings on your phone when you're turning the volume up above a safe level. I think that's really, really good as well. As you said, over the ear headphones better actually, because they cancel out more noise naturally, and therefore you can have the volume a little bit lower. So earbuds do tend to be louder and probably operating at the slightly more higher frequencies that could damage hearing. But it is a constant battle, and, you know, charities like the RNID, the Royal Nash Institute for the Deaf, do a great job in terms of awareness. But hearing, you know, this area, like everything else to do with your hearing, tends to be underrepresented and misunderstood.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's made you think, talking of sort of misrepresented and misunderstood, what the links like between the medical profession? Because I feel if I went to a doctor with a problem with my eyesight, then there's an immediate link there. Hey, yep, you need to go to an optician or an eye specialist. Do the same sort of links exist in terms of audiology?
We have a two separate, although the optical system is a mix between public and private. You get some free eye exams, you can get certain frames, you get a top up, and audiology in lots of other countries in Europe actually follows a similar model. Audiology in the UK is completely split between, you either go down the NHS route, so you'll see your GP, they will potentially refer you on to an ENT or an audiologist, more likely an audiologist, an NHS audiologist, who will test your hearing and provide you with hearing aids through the NHS. Or you would go privately through companies like ourselves, like, as I say, often based within optical premises, and they would offer you a completely private pathway. So there's two different pathways, which definitely doesn't help with making things simple for people. I think this leads to a lot of misunderstanding as to what options there are out there.
Yeah, and talking of, you know, the rest of the world, we have a worldwide audience on the show. In terms of this kind of link between hearing loss and dementia, you know, I guess, you know, it's not just this country, it's everywhere. What are the kind of links with your colleagues in different countries where, as you've already alluded to, there may be slightly different methods going?
Yeah, and I think although the study we talked about originally was just UK based, there's similar studies all over the world. I think that paper drew from those studies as well, and largely we find, you know, massive similarities in terms of hearing loss and hearing aid adoption, and interestingly, hearing aid adoption, because of the great work the NHS has done over the years with audiology, hearing aid adoption, i.e. the percentage of the population that need it who are wearing hearing aids, is really quite high in the UK. In lots of places, I think countries that we'd have similar socioeconomic profiles to the UK, the adoption rate is slightly lower. And then when you get to less developed countries, obviously you can imagine the adoption rates are even lower still. And so that will inevitably cause more problems because you've got a lower percentage of people wearing hearing aids.
And is it a case of, you know, any problems with hearing? We've talked about kind of the age profile, but I guess for people that are younger, it's very important to pick those up as well.
Yeah, and I think because your hearing is so, so important for your development of speech and language and your general education and social interaction as children, we do an amazing job with children's provision of hearing aids exclusively through the National Health Service, and they do an absolutely amazing job there. So we find that the take-up rate of people who are born with hearing problems or develop hearing problems very young is really, really high because it's so important. And that's an area where we're definitely very, very successful. It's almost the opposite of, you know, general age-related hearing loss.
It's, yeah, it's a fascinating subject. I've learned a lot in the last 20 minutes or so. I mean, how do you feel you can get the word out there even more? Because, you know, I think you said to me, you know, the once you explain it to someone, you think, well, hey, that's really obvious. And it's one of those things that makes me think, well, surely we should have an ad on the TV or, you know, everybody should know about this. But it does seem to be a bit of a lost world at times.
Exactly. The key thing is to get your hearing checked regularly. I think you should get your hearing checked. You know, I would start certainly anyone over the age of 50, I would encourage to get your hearing checked and to get it checked regularly. You know, we have a 15-minute hearing health check, which is free of charge. We have a look into the ears, as I say. We ask a few questions. We do a quick hearing test. And the beauty is we've got all of that documented. We use a video otoscope, it's called, to look into the ears, and we record the image as well. So we know exactly what your eardrum looks like. So we can then compare that, you know, in the future, particularly if you come back with any problems. And we keep a record of your hearing test. So then we know what level your hearing loss is or your hearing is deteriorating at, if at all, because it tends to be a really, really slow process. So just getting that 15-minute hearing screening to make sure you know where you are now and what your next steps are is vitally, vitally important for me. And I just wouldn't, you know, I would just say, why wouldn't you get that done?
It's that kind of pointing towards, you know, when I need an eye check, I get an email saying, you know, 2 years or whatever since your last eye check. Yeah, it just strikes me again, you know, that we should be getting the same for audiology.
Exactly. And once people are in the system, they do. So any of our clients that come for a hearing check, we would, you know, if they were sort of borderline hearing loss or any other challenges, we'd maybe recall them in 12 months. If, you know, they just had pretty normal hearing, we'd recall them in 24 months. And then, yeah, you'd get that same reminder and then you're in the same, exactly the same process as the optical world. But you just need to take that first step to get yourself into that routine check.
Well, we're nearly time out, Rob, but just part, you know, gosh, mind forward 5 years. Obviously, technology, I guess, will continue to develop, but it kind of strikes me that a lot of it's on the PR side and getting the message out there.
Yeah, that's definitely the key challenge. The hearing aids will continue to improve. There will be, you know, big developments and that small incremental changes that just make the basis of hearing aids, which is hearing better, more and more important. In the next 5 years, yeah, will anything change in terms of the screening? You know, there's, as I say, people like the RNID are doing really, really good work out there to push for screening programs. Do I see anything changing? I'm not sure, to be honest. I think we'll probably still be in the same boat of just trying to encourage people and get awareness out of there to get your hearing tested just the same way you would get your eyes checked regularly.
Well, I think we need, you know, more half hours like this, really, because listening to you has been great, Rob. Thank you very much. You've explained it very well. I've learned a lot. And, you know, I've thought, yeah, hearing aids are cool. Why isn't it obvious we don't get our hearing checked?
Exactly. And I hope that's the big message from here for anyone that hasn't had their hearing checked recently. Go and get it checked. See where you are and see what your next steps are.
Thank you very much for my guest, Rob.
Oh, great. Thanks, Pete. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks to Rob, and do take his advice to get your hearing checked. And the full Lancet report is available from their website at www.thelancet.com. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me again soon here on the D Word Podcast.